in the States, especially here in Mountain Ridge. Rose and I had our beginnings here. In 97. And you remember what I received on our wedding day? A little box of Kleenexes. So just be prepared. Be prepared. We're going to be speaking from Ephesians chapter 3, continue on with the study. The church in Paraguay just finished their time together. Luis, some of you know Luis, he had the message this morning. So, and I think it's Julio tomorrow or next week. Julio is going to be bringing the message next week. It's great to be back here, and we were hoping that it wouldn't be so cold. We were kind of trying to plan it, so we didn't bring all our winter jackets and stuff like that, so we could kind of ease into the summer months with you guys. And you guys have all, it's kind of all a different type of weather patterns right now, I guess. So, but we're surviving, we're surviving. Ephesians chapter 3 is actually about last year we taught Ephesians chapter 4 all year. I said we're gonna focus on chapter 4 all year. And then this year we were supposed to put into practice the things that we learned in chapter 4. But it was good to be able to be invited to speak on Ephesians chapter 3, which talks about the church as well. And we would just want to spend a little time here and see what we can learn from God's word in Ephesians chapter 3. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord, ask or help us in our understanding of his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your greatness and your work that you've started and you're doing in and amongst us in this whole world today. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing around the world too. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us as we would seek to gather information for our daily lives and our service for you. We pray that you would open up our hearts and our understanding of your word as we speak. We would not want to listen to man. We'd like to listen to you. And we just ask that you would speak this morning, that you would allow us to be encouraged in our walk and our service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, it starts off, "For this reason," and so you have to go back. Why? What do you mean, "for this reason"? You always have to say, what did he say right before this that he's referring back to? And I'd like to just refer back to chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one." He's talking about the Gentiles and the Jews becoming one in the body of Christ. He says, both one has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So he's referring back to the two, the Gentiles and the Jews, becoming one in the family of God. And he goes on to say here, he says in chapter 3, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner not of Rome," he says, "the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles." It's interesting, that'll come out a little bit later on, that Paul didn't see him as a prisoner of Rome. He saw him as a prisoner of Christ. Serving God, you go through different difficulties in life, and that's just part of serving him. Each one of us have gone through. A lot of you right now are going through unemployment, which is a great trial. We have that down in Paraguay a lot. A lot of people just can't find work, especially in the interior of the country. They have to move into the capital to find work. But it's a neat testimony to the Lord, or for the Lord, when people find work in their area, in our area. And it's neat to hear testimonies of people around us saying, how come those guys have work in that church. You know, how come they say, look at the jobs they have. So that's kind of a neat testimony. And I pray the Lord would fulfill his purpose in you as well as you wait and God provides the right work for you. He says here that he's a prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Porque actually he was he was caught, they had thought he was with an Ephesian when he went into the temple. That's kind of what he was in the prison for right now. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. It's a mystery that was now being revealed. And here's the mystery in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. That's a neat thing. That's a mystery that was hidden, he says, which was known, which in other ages was not known to the sons of men. And in the church age, it was a mystery to the prophets in the Old Testament. They saw the millennial reign of Christ, but the church age was a hidden mystery. And Paul was called upon to, along with the other apostles, not just him, but Paul as well was called upon to announce this mystery now to the people there, especially to the Gentiles. He talks about when he was talking to the Galatian church in Galatians chapter 2, he was talking about his ministry as well. In verse 7 of chapter 2 in Galatians, he says, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me for the Gentiles." So he was called, he was commissioned by the Lord to announce this mystery to the Gentile believers, to the Gentile people, to cause them to enter into the family of God. What a great privilege it is, really, for us as believers. You know, he was using Paul to specifically being sent out to announce this to the Gentile people. We see his commissioning when he was saved in Acts. Let's just turn real quickly to Acts chapter 26. Actually, he's talking to one of the kings, and he's giving his testimony. And he talks about his testimony of what God commissioned him to do. In Acts 26, he's talking to King Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony in verse 14. He says, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" What a neat commission that God had sent out Paul to announce this to the Gentile world. It's neat. Each one of us, really, God, we were talking, as Jack was singing as well, about God raising up Paul, but also raising up each one of us to take this message out. to a world that's around us. I mean, not only some people are commissioned to a certain sector of the world or a certain people group, which we feel privileged as well, being able to be ministers for the Lord in Paraguay and another country. But each one of us has a mission as well as being a part of the church. God has not called us to have this message and just hold it on to ourselves. It's to share with others around us. And it is a neat privilege, like Paul as well is referring to, that he was chosen as well by God. But the church was hidden from the time past, and it was revealed now that God is creating a new body, the bride of Christ. And he's taking it, the Jews don't have a special privilege in this body. We're all one in Christ. It's a neat, Jesus was talking to Peter and the apostles, and he's saying, I will build my church. And that's what we're a part of right now, where he's building that church. A special group, a group of people have been called out at this time period in the whole plan of God, that we are a special people. He says, You have not chosen me, I've chosen you. I've chosen you to be a part of this. And he's allowed us to feel the blessings that come from having a relationship with him. And realizing, as we worship this morning, of sins forgiven. And a family that's, we're accepted in God. God, we're not in enemies with him. We're fellow heirs of his promises, the future that we have, of hope that one day we'll leave this world that has difficulties. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, there's a hope for us. You see that even God warns us that there's going to be perilous times coming. It's not over yet. And we're a part of that. And even in the midst of perilous times, God still wants that word to go out. Paul was an example of that, of suffering many heartaches and many hardships. He was shipwrecked. He went through depressions. He went through imprisonments, but for the sake of Christ. And he was rejoicing. In Philippians, he here is rejoicing in the midst of these trials. And as well, God wants us to lift up our hearts and eyes to him, even in the midst of different difficult times, and saying, in him, I can do all things. So Paul, Paul was talking about the mystery that's now revealed. I remember when Sarah was little. When we had a secret we bought a bike for Lily, and we hid it. And you can't hide it. We don't have a big enough house that we can really hide it, you know. So we hide it in a place we didn't think she'd ever look, you know. Upstairs we have a little, like a attic, but it's all open. You can actually see. So what does Sarah do? You know, we're trying to say, Sarah, don't tell her. You know, it's a secret. It's a mystery. So what does she do? Oh, Lily, you're not supposed to see that bike that's up there, you know. You know, you can see Paul, you know, isn't it neat that God's saying, you know, this is a mystery. You know, God had a mystery that was hidden from other people's eyes. And now he's opened up our eyes to this mystery. And he says, now you don't have to keep it a secret. Just go tell him. When we were putting on a surprise birthday party for Rose as well, he said, don't tell Sarah. Don't tell Sarah yet. You know, maybe she can keep a secret for half a day. We'll tell her half a day before, you know. And even so, we had to keep her mouth shut, you know. But it's neat. God, it was a mystery. And God says, now share that mystery that's not to be hidden now. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow, it's a neat privilege when you start realizing what the church is. And we'll come into that a little bit later on. And that's what he wants us to understand as well. But it's a mystery. And then that mystery, Paul was commissioned to share. He says in verse 7, he says, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, in verse 8, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, of me, the least of these people, I persecuted the church. I shouldn't be here as a privileged person to go and announce this to the world. But I feel privileged. God had mercy on me. God had grace instead of giving me what I deserved. He shed his grace on me. He says, I'm not going to just chastise you and keep you as the scum of the world, but I'm going to raise you up to a person that can use. And he did. But he saw it, and he was humble in the privilege of taking an important announcement, important information to share it with the world. And he saw it as that too, a privilege. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Interesting that he says here in verse 9 and 10, he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Made known by the church. The church, he says, by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God is using the church as a teaching tool to the heavenly bodies. They're probably just mystified of saying, you're going to do what? You're going to go down and save these people that have just rejected you? Have gone astray and they've made a disaster of the world you put them in? You're going to do what? You're going to give them grace instead of punishment? And God's going to use the church. People have been that deserve really the wrath of God. And God's going to do something marvelous, and he's going to use that as a teaching tool to people that don't understand it, to the angelic beings, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Don't know how he's going to use that, but I mean, it's the neat thing of seeing that God's using the church. The other thing is that Christ is the head of the church, and we're part of this body, and it's all intertwined. The body of Christ, when we talk about it a little bit more here, to understand the love and the intimacy that there should be in the church body. That's why it's just a neat thing when you travel and to be able to be a part of the body of Christ in different areas. And it's the same body. I mean, we were just in Miami. We were fellowshipping with, you probably know Craig. Craig Fritchie. Yeah. And we were with his parents. You know, and some people are saying, where are you going to stay? Well, do you know those people? No, don't know them. Don't know any of those people. We're going to be new friends. You know, new friends. And then we are. I mean, it's just a neat thing to be able to spend time with the body of Christ. It doesn't matter where. We're going to be going to other parts of the United States as well now. And to be able to have fellowship. There's some new people here that we haven't never seen. It's Dave and some other folks that we haven't seen. We're new friends. New friends in the body of Christ. And it's probably a mystery to the people of the heavenly hosts that are watching all this. And also in chapter 1, I think it talks about Ephesians, where he talks about, and throughout the ages, God's going to reveal his glory through the church. I mean, what a neat thing. God's going to use the church body that he's building up, and one day it's going to say, it's finished. Let's go. And we're gonna start a new dimension in our whole relationship with the Lord, of just being able to understand it even more fully. But even so, we just know a little bit, and that's why you need the whole body of God, body of believers, to understand who God is. Not any all of us have Christ living within us, but it's group. When we see the group, we see the different aspects of the of the person of God manifested in through the gifts of the Spirit being manifested here in the body. And you'll be covering that next week in chapter 4. But this mystery, God caused Paul or had Paul come to announce this, and it's going to be a teaching process, the whole church. And he says, in whom he accomplished all this through Jesus Christ. He already told us that in chapter 2, that the reconciliation of two enemy groups, the Gentiles, the Jews, God's putting it together in one body. And in whom now we have boldness. In verse 12, he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. That's what it caused me when I was reading this morning as well. That's why I ended up speaking on in Hebrews 4, that we have that access to the Father. We have the access to the Father. He invites us in with boldness. We don't have to be scared. It's not like a, you know, when God first appeared to the nation of Israel on the Mount Sinai, you know, it was with great, great thunderings, and it struck fear in the people. God says, you don't have to have that fear. You come into my presence in open arms, a loving Father. You don't have to have fear when you go to him to ask for something. Isn't that a neat privilege we have as brothers and sisters and a part of the family of God? Of just having a Father that we can come boldly to him and have access, and it's all through faith in Christ and confidence that he's going to hear us. He knows. One of the things that, you know, in Matthew chapter 6 is my favorite verse, or in Matthew chapter 6 is my favorite chapter in the Bible. He just talks about the faith and how he says, and God knows you. He knows what you're going to ask before you come to him. He knows your needs. That changed my life, really. Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, God is able to take care as long as we put him first. And he says, you have a heavenly Father that cares for you. That is just a neat, we have that confidence that God says, if he says he wants you to wait, then we wait. If he wants you to move, we move. If we want you to not have something we're asking for, we accept that. And so that's part of the realizing that it's not, I don't have to make all those decisions. I can put those decisions in God's hands, and he can guide, and he can help me in these areas. And we have that privilege of coming to him, who is nothing is impossible with him. And it just gives a peace in the midst of all the problems. He gives a peace. He knows what's happening. It's not because he doesn't care that he causes us to go through these waiting times. And you see the testimony of Israel throughout the desert years. God always met their needs at the right time. Not when they always wanted it, but at the right time. And he told them that. He says, that's why you went through all that. So you learn how to trust in me. So the difficulties that we go through, we can actually raise our heads and say, God, you know what you're doing. I don't know exactly right now. I don't know why I have to go through some of this, but I'm going to trust in you. That's for my good. And you have something working out. Even in accidents or hardships. I mean, there's been people coming to know the Lord because I had an accident. One of the brothers, Ronald, an old military man, came to know the Lord down there because I had an accident in slow motion. And I thought, God, you could easily have prevented that. But as a result of us going and getting estimates in a body shop, I ended up getting to know him, and he ended up studying the Bible and making a decision for the Lord. So even through the hardships, God has his way. Why are we going through that? Mario, he's a man that's has a problem with his kidneys. He's been up in the hospital many times. And he always tries to share the gospel with people that are with him in the same room. And I've encouraged him to do so. And who knows why God's putting him through all that, but God's allowing little seeds to be planted in different places, in different people's lives. God's in charge. And he says, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation in verse 13 for you, which is your glory. As he said, you know, in Peter, when he talks about, he says, if you suffer for doing right, that brings glory to God, he says. If you suffer for being a bad person, well, you deserve it, pretty much, is what he's saying. He says, what glory does that give to me? But if you are doing right and you're suffering for it, that brings glory to God. He says, Jesus was an example of that. He says, when he was persecuted, when he didn't open his mouth, you know, he accepted it. And he says, that's why Paul is saying, you know, my tribulation, I'm here in prison. It's not because I did something bad. I did something, I'm following the Lord. And because of that, you guys, you don't have to be ashamed that I'm here. God's using it for something. And even in Philippians, you talk about, I'm meeting some of the guards that people would never have gotten to know the gospel unless I'd been in here. And so Paul's rejoicing even in the midst of these trials. He says, so don't feel sorry. Don't lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then in verse 14, he refers back. Actually, he started in verse 1 for this reason. And he had a little side, just kind of saying about what the church is about, what God had hidden, and now it's revealed. And he goes to prayer now in verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, and he's praying this to the Ephesians, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Now he's talking about the relationship with God from verse 14 to 18, the understanding of that you would understand that God would grant you according to his riches, be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. God started a new working in the lives of people when he was telling the disciples that, you know, I'm going to go away, but it's better that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send you a helper. And he's going to not only be with you, he's going to be in you. He's going to be in you. That's different. It's before he'd come and he'd go in the Old Testament. But now he's going to be in with you, and you're not going to be orphans. You are going to be a part of me, and it's just a neat thing. He says, I want you to understand this intellectually, that God would open up your mind and understand these truths intellectually. And then verse 19, he says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that's what, to know it, not to just know it up here, but to really know that love of God, to feel the love of just in relationships, your husband and wife relationship, parents and children relationship, where you can pour out love, you can express your love through your actions, through your words, that people would experience that love. And God wants us to experience his love as well. Because that just kind of, when we see answered to prayer, when we see that God only knew this prayer that I just said, and he's the one who answered that. And he's the one who did that, and that causes us to love him even more. And when we're, a lot of times Rose would say too, in her time in the worship service, you know, she'd be meditating on some verses or a song, and his brother would get up and say something about it. And Jay just expressed that this morning as well. Something happened like that with him this morning. So with just being able to see God is involved in the whole thing and experience that love, that he's a part of what's happening here, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. He says, be ye filled. And it's allowing God's life to flow through us. That's what he really wants. When he says that love that he wants us to be able to pour out to the lives of other people around us isn't a love that we try to generate in our own efforts. It's a love that's a fruit of the Spirit, of his presence in our life. And as we yield control of ourselves to him, that love can be poured out. But when we start putting this the stopper on it, it's hard to eke out. But when we allow God to say, God, I want you to use my life and pour your life through me and to love the people around me. A lot of people are hard to love. But it's that godly love that says he loves them no matter what. It's an unconditional love. And that's something God only can produce in our lives. And he says, just let me do that in your life. And that's how he wants us to experience that. And as a part of a church, he's saying the church is that type of God pouring his life through the church, not just staying here in the church, but through the church, through the world, to the world around us. And he said in John, he says chapter 15 or 13, when he's talking about the a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. His love was a service love. He washed the disciples' feet, and he says, "I love as I have loved you." So the gospel, the love of God, is first manifested here amongst us as believers, loving one another, and it's a testimony to the world around us that there's something different there. When I come into this room, people receive me different. That's what, when I first entered into a Christian church, that was the one thing I noticed right away. In the Catholic church where I was before, it was just come in, kneel, sit, and then you leave, and no one says anything to you. But when I came into a church, a Christian church, they allow, who are you? What is your name? My name is this. Welcome. That's the type of love to be able to receive. And that's the type of love that God has poured into the church. And he's poured into us, Gentiles. Most of us are Gentiles. I think only Pharisee's wife is of Jewish descent, right? Yeah. But it's neat to be part of one body. One body. It's not Jew and Gentile. It's one in Christ. What a neat privilege we have. And he says, and that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that possible? You know, this thing, listen to this, what he says here. He said, well, then he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, it's the Spirit, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Turn back to John chapter 17. This is the Lord's Prayer. Really. And he prays for us. And to know the love of Christ, he's saying, to know the love of God, to experience in our own day-to-day walk with him, to realize that it's more than just getting up in the morning and reading the Bible, but it's communing and having that a relationship with a God that's real, with a God that's here, and he wants to commune with us. What a privilege we have. And when I read these things like in John 17, Jesus is getting excited. I mean, he's about ready to go to the cross, and he's telling the disciples the last things. You know, here's the more important things now. Let's all the things I've taught now. The first thing, love each other. A new commandment I give to you, just love each other. And then he goes into chapter 17, you know, he just says, and remember, I'm praying for you. I said one of his last things, I'm praying for you. And not only praying for them, but he prays for us here in 2016. He says in verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, in me, and I in you. Now, Jesus, when Jesus was here, he told the disciples as well, he says, Philip says, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, and if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And Philip says, well, show us the Father. He says, Philip, I've been with you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am in the Father, and he's in me. I mean, he says, when Jesus talked and did his miracles, he says, not me that's doing this. It's God the Father. He did that. He told me to do these things. He told me to share these things. And it's a part of seeing Christ living the Christian life, really the Christian life that he expects us to live, seeing it lived out before us, that it's not, he's saying, it's not me that's doing it, it's the Father. It's kind of an there's a relationship that's intimate here. And he's trying to explain it here, and listen to what he says. And he says that, 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He's inviting us to be one with the Father, to enter into that intimate relationship that he has with the Father, he says, and you too can enter into that with us. Wow. Wow. And he says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. Verse 26, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus is saying he wants us to enter into that love relationship and allow his love that he has with the Father to us to be a part of that whole union, that his love that he has, he pours it through us and it becomes one. That's why the world will know that God exists, because God's love is poured out in and amongst us. People are able to see it. They're able to experience that. And Jesus is inviting us to be a part of that. He says that to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The fullness of God, the Father in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, Christ in you. God is living in you. God is in you. And he wants to love through you. A neat privilege we have as a church, a living organism. God established the church. He started it. And he's building it one by one. To him, he says, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. We're going to be in heaven, the bride of Christ, and we're going to be a part of experience that love for eternity. And God calls the church out to announce the mystery that was hidden from ages past. I feel privileged as well to have the privilege of going to Paraguay and announcing that to people. I keep on telling the people that are down there. Many of you have known them. Doug has been down there. To be able to say this is a first generation church. People didn't know the gospel before. They'd never heard it. And talking to some people in CMML, the ones that are over in Philippines, what were their names? Hastings, and yeah, Hastings, and then her family is the one that kind of a dynasty over there. Brooks, yeah, Brooks. I mean, generation after generation of Christian, what a great testimony that is. But it's neat to be able to go to an area that they don't know that. You know, we don't have anybody to copy. I mean, you just say, well, what we establish now is going to be the groundwork of what happens next. So we need to establish a great groundwork, a great example of what the church should do and function as. And God has called us to be a part of that, announcing the mystery of Christ. And Paul, sensing that he's a privileged person, and each one of us should be that privilege. There's people around us that don't know. And America's getting even worse and worse, getting to be more of a mission field. I mean, you see that. You see that the last time we were here, we really saw a difference. And we keep up with it in Facebook and all these other types of media. You can see America is needing the gospel. It's not time to just hold it in, but it's time to announce the mystery that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And we were them. And he wants us to be a part of a body. And not only just part of it and just being content with that, but to allow Christ's life and love flow through us. And the world will know because of the love we share with one another, the body of Christ. He's the head, and he wants to work through the body. He gives order. He gives direction. And the church grows when we are obedient to that. Great chapter. Thank you for allowing me to be able to meditate on that a little bit more and be able to share those thoughts with you today. And just the neat privilege we have is being a part of God's church. That he said he was going to build, and he is building it. We're part of it. And we have a mission to do. And he's going to come back for us. And he's going to use us as a teaching tool for all eternity as well. People that deserve hell are going to be in heaven. Let's thank him. Heavenly Father, we are privileged people. We are here today to honor you and what you have done in our lives. You've taken the worst of the world. You sent the best of heaven to save us. And to be not just save us, but to give us a transformation that the life of God can be put inside us. That you said it's Christ in you. Lord, we have the Almighty God, the power to do the transforming work in our lives. We thank you for that patience that you have with us. Thank you for changing us and molding us in the image of Christ. Father, we pray that you would help us to be more active participants in that, to be able to allow you to do the work even more fully, and to be able to be used as a part of the church to share that love that you pour in our hearts, to share it with others around us, here especially in the church itself, to be able to express that love and care for one another, and that the world would know that you're amongst us. And as well, Lord, to be able to take that mystery, the mystery that was hidden from time past, is now revealed in Christ, that you are creating a church that lasts throughout all eternity, that will sing your praises forever and ever. And we thank you for allowing us to be a part of that, and that we want to give you thanks and praise. And we just pray that you would use our lives, even as Paul sensed or felt privileged to announce that to other part of the world, we pray that you would help us to do the same thing. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, and you can do above and beyond all that we ask or think. And we thank you, and we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.